everybody. And today we're fortunate to have with us Steve Bartholomew, author of the book The Imaginary Emperor, as well as several other titles. Hi, Steve, and thanks for being here.
Hi, I'm here, all right. Most people call me Bart, although my legal name is Steve Bartholomew. That's what's on my birth certificate, but most people call me Bart. You can call me that.
I'm happy to call you Bart, so we will do that for the rest of our interview today. Let me tell our listeners a little bit about your book, The Imaginary Emperor. It's a fictional work based on fact, and here's a little brief synopsis. The Imaginary Emperor is a tale centering around America's first and only emperor, Joshua Norton I, Emperor of the United States and Protector of Mexico. He arrived in San Francisco at the height of the gold rush, made a fortune, and lost it again. Meanwhile, the world around him was going mad. Norton saw no reason not to go mad himself. As emperor, he might cure the country's ills as well as his own. Emperor Norton, despite rumors of his secret treasure, found he could not solve the nation's problems. But he left people a little happier than if he had never come and gone. Bart, is that a pretty good synopsis of the book?
That's a good short one, yeah. There's more stories in the book besides just Emperor Norton, because he was a product of his time. And when I started writing the book, I realized that there were a lot of other interesting stories going on around him. And so I got him involved with some of the other people. One of them was Mary Ellen Pleasant, who was a wealthy ex-slave, as she claimed anyway. And she was the head of the Underground Railroad in San Francisco. She carried out the first sit-in in the United States. She had integrated the streetcar system. And she was a friend of Sarah, who was a former mistress of the first senator from Nevada, who she sued for divorce, even though he claimed they were never married. And these stories go on and on and on, you know, and I could have made this book probably 10 times as long as I did. There's such a wealth of stories in old San Francisco, as in most other places.
Maybe this is destined to become a series.
Well, I'll have to think about that. I am writing stories about San Francisco. One of my books is called The Woodcutter, which is not about San Francisco, but the character in it came from San Francisco, and he moved to Virginia City, Nevada. Virginia City and San Francisco were two terminal points in the great movement westward, and they had a close relationship with each other. And then I wrote Black Bart Reborn. Black Bart, or Charles Bowles, his real name was. He lived in San Francisco. And most of these people have connections with each other. Either they knew each other or they knew of each other, and it's hard to separate them.
Interesting, isn't it, that in that period of time when communication was so bad, that these people from, you know, hundreds of miles away from each other actually knew of each other, were aware of each other. It's fascinating.
Well, communication wasn't as bad as you think. They had the telegraph. The telegraph came in early 19th century, and there's a book called The Victorian Internet, which regards the early telegraph as, you know, they used it the same way we use the internet. They had social relationships, and they had scams going, you know. But you could get the news from Paris, France, to California in a couple of minutes after they got the transatlantic cable laid. There was no radio or television, but they had about 15 different newspapers, plus monthly and weekly magazines. And people read a lot in those days, you know. So there was a great deal of communication going on.
Was The Imaginary Emperor your first book?
Oh, no. Actually, my first book, that was several years ago. My first book was called The Terrorist Plot at Gopherville, and it was a political satire. I wrote it while the early days of what we call now the National Security Administration was going on. And I just thought the whole thing was getting a bit silly, so I wrote a book about that. And then the book that came after that was completely unrelated. It was Tale of the Paranormal, Chapel Perilous. I've also had some interest in the paranormal. In fact, the book I'm working on right now has to do with the paranormal from a different viewpoint.
Safe for me to say that your work is fictional based on fact?
My historical books are, yes. That's what I'm mainly into now is Western historical fiction. I get almost all of my ideas come from actual historical events. The book I'm working on now, its title is Spirit Catcher, and I became interested in looking at pictures taken during Victorian times of ghosts and spirits. There were photographers who went to seances and haunted houses and took pictures of spirits because it was all trick photography, but they were very popular at the time. And I got to thinking, you know, what kind of person would be interested in doing that? You know, I'd like to do it. That'd be fun, you know. But these guys were serious, you know. There was a photograph of Mary Todd Lincoln standing next to the ghost of Lincoln after he was killed. You know, really weird stuff. Could not avoid writing stories about that.
Sure, yeah. And so how long did it take you to write The Imaginary Emperor?
I would say probably about 6 months. I had to do some research on that, but not as much research as some other books because most of the information is readily available. I did find, you know, one thing I found out was that there's a lot of misinformation. There were a couple of biographies written about him by people who never met him and never did primary source work on him. For example, there's a popular belief that Emperor Norton had two dogs named Bummer and Lazarus, which the two dogs did exist. They were famous dogs in San Francisco, but Emperor Norton never had anything to do with them. A lot of biographies you pick up will say that they were his dogs, which they were not.
And speaking of the emperor, I understand you're involved in a campaign that's going on for the San Francisco Bay Bridge. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, there's a movement to name the new San Francisco Bay Bridge after Emperor Norton, the Emperor Norton Bay Bridge. I don't know if we'll succeed in that, but we're trying it out. We're getting a certain amount of publicity about that.
Is there anything that listeners could do to help with that? Is there a petition out? Is there, you know, someplace online they can go and be a part of that?
Go on Google and just Google Emperor Norton Bridge. I mean, I'm sure you'd find it.
Excellent. And I'm sure everybody listening is capable of running out there and doing that. And it's Emperor Norton, N-O-R-T-O-N, Bridge, of course. That's exciting. So how many books, do you know how many books you've actually written so far?
Well, I have print. I have 8 books. There are 2 other completed books which have been stuck with my publisher for some time. And I'm working on another one, so that makes 11. Well, the 11th one is not finished yet, but that'll be 11 books. The 2 with my publisher, one of them is another book about early San Francisco, the inventors, mad inventor in Victorian times. And there, you know, there are a lot of people building perpetual motion machines and things like that, just as they are now. And the book I'm most enthusiastic about is called Tunnel 6. And that takes place during the building of the Summit Tunnel, Transcontinental Railroad. They were building a tunnel. They had to go over the Sierra Mountains. Mm-hmm. And so they had to build a tunnel near where Donner Pass is now. And the tunnel is still there. It's over 6,000 feet altitude, and it's 1,700 and some feet long through solid granite. And took them about 3 years to build it. At one point, they were making a progress of about 6 inches per day using black powder and hammer and chisel. Then they went from black powder to nitroglycerin, and that sped up their work rate by about, they were doing 12 inches a day using nitroglycerin.
How long have you been writing commercially?
Commercially, well, you know, I sold my first short story when I was 20. So I guess you could date it from then. It was quite a while ago. It was, when was it? 1956.
And if you could say something to inspire aspiring authors, because I know you're fanatical about research and that you found sort of pockets of information that help inspire you on your books, is there some advice you would give to aspiring authors?
Say read a lot. Stephen King has a really good book about writing, and it's one of the things he says. He says, you know, you have to read a lot. You know, I started reading when I was 8 or 9 years old, and I've never stopped. And in fact, I stopped watching television altogether. I still listen to the radio now and then. But books are a lot better than television.
And are you a paper man, or do you prefer audiobooks?
I do both. I go to the gym every day, and I listen to audiobooks. So And then I come home and read a book on my tablet. So I'm always reading 2 or 3 different books at the same time.
I appreciate appreciate that you're suggesting that aspiring authors should be well-read. And in your case, when you were working on Western novels, you actually used the resource of old newspapers, didn't you?
Yes. In fact, there's a website called Viridian, which has digital records of almost every newspaper published in California since 1850. It's an amazing resource. And it's fun to just go back and read copies of the Alta California or the old San Francisco Bulletin and just pick something out at random and read some of the, especially the way they wrote things in those days. The writing, we would call it rather quaint and obsolete, but they went into a great deal of detail. A lot of it was fake news, too. They were not above making up things, but it's really interesting to read.
It's very interesting, and I think what a great way for writers to get inspiration. So if you ever hear of a writer who says, I have a writer's block, what a great resource that is to just get inspired for new stories and new story ideas.
You know, I don't believe there's such a thing as writer's block. There's procrastination, which is a different problem. You know, someone recently asked me how to get started writing. I said, well, you pick up a paper and a pencil.
But if readers want to see everything that you've written, they can go to Amazon.com, plug in Steve Bartholomew, and your author page will come up along with all of your titles so they can jump in and order everything at one time, which would be a handy thing to do.
Right.
Good. And for our listeners, if you enjoy good fiction and learning more about San Francisco history, you really need to get a copy of The Imaginary Emperor. You're going to enjoy it. It's good fiction and it's good fun. And Bart, or Steve Bartholomew, I appreciate you taking the time today to speak with us about The Imaginary Emperor. And for our listeners who can't wait to get their hands on your book, run out to Amazon, plug in Steve Bartholomew, and all of those books will come up, including The Imaginary Emperor, and you can order your Kindle version or your print version today. Well, that wraps it up for today, and thanks to you, Bart, Steve Bartholomew, and to our listeners, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening.